Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at Resonant Truth.
Today on the Zolkin is called White Spectral Dog, and it is the 11th day of the Yellow Sun Wave Spell. And it is the self-existing moon, day 3. I guess if you're an avid listener, and I don't know if such people exist, you've notice that I haven't been on air for at least a week, and there's a lot of sadness for me about not being able to contribute in the usual way here, and it's the kind of thing that then makes me not want to come back, in part because I think the reason I've stayed off the podcast site is because I'm just not sure what to say, you know, how to fill the time in a meaningful way has become elusive, and not from any severe depression or hopelessness, actually, just more my faith in the broadcast medium of podcasts as well as social media has been so drastically altered in, say, the past season that it's so hard to feel authentic while being one of, you know, a billion voices that think that it's important to have a voice online. And I have been talking in sort of the radio format, which graduated podcasts, about natural time for 22 years, but there's still such a cultural shift to information sharing, over-the-top amounts of it, that it's really hard for me to want to claim space in that milieu. I'm just naturally recessive, and that's the whole story, and that struggle is real for me, and it's not over yet. So that's part of the story, and then I'm also just feel really boring. It's pretty insulated in a boring reality, which is my not never-ending, but pretty long-form home renovation. So I don't interact with a lot of people, and I guess I don't colorize my world and descriptions of, you know, how I see the astrology affecting my own life with very much new information or experience. So I think my storytelling is lackluster, and my synchronicities are dumbed down. A lot of this is pandemic oriented. We were all set on a course for a more isolated social experience and dependency on socializing through the internet has increased. But for me, that, you know, that is absolutely alien to like what makes me healthy and well. So boy, I have my own struggle now to, you know, figure out how to shape an active, interactive life when I live somewhere where I don't know anyone. So I've made the podcast a place where I feel like I'm known and I know some listeners personally, and then I just ambiently can tell you're out there. And so if, again, it matters to you that I share what I share, I'm really sorry. It doesn't feel like it matters. Like I said, I have an existential experience of being like, does any of this matter? We're just all talking into microphones. We're just all posting selfies and pictures of our, you know, intimate daily lives at every nanosecond. Is any of this helpful? And if it is, apologies that my angst has interfered here. Pretty blue storm, pretty blue overtone storm. That's my birth astrology. I am a blue overstone storm person in her 52nd year, which means that the reckoning is real and the authenticity is there. And so is a rebirth, a repurposing, I guess, a redirecting of some of my life's ambition and, you know, my life's creative output. So this transition is awkward to go through with any kind of public witnessing, but it's intriguing, it's interesting. And on November 23rd, a certain aspect of it will be over when I complete my 52nd year and see how it feels, you know, to emerge from it. And I'm really interested to talk about that, but I just don't know how many people listening are past 52, approaching it, so that, you know, the theme that's so strong and real for me now gets, I kind of dumb it down because it's not going to be of interest to everyone, but it's so primal and kind of like, it's kind of embarrassing to me to be like, okay, so you, when you're 52, you repeat, you revisit, you revitalize your actual birth astrology. It's a complete cycle at 52. You return to the energy field of your birth. That's true for every one of us. And so you can learn so much about who you are when you're 52. I'll just say a bit about that. It's like, I'm always been a seeker. I've always been uncomfortable with a lot of aspects of myself. I mean, most in a way. So I've always been trying to find like the calm in the storm, or the place that I can live, you know, in proximity to my really heavy birth astrology with any ease. Being overtone is really big, commanding, bossy. As a female, of course, that pushes against a lot of sexism. It seems masculine in certain ways. Being a blue storm is all of that as well. So I have this sort of amplified, it's a doubled or repetitive kind of ritual here to be a blue overtone storm and a portal. And so to revisit that, like, oh, this is like being born. This is like what you were born into. This is the cultural kind of struggle or the larger societal way of experiencing the time that you were born. And then here's your individual resurgent self discovering, not in infancy when so much of our intellect is unformed, but like wide awake, middle-aged, life experienced. This is what it's like to be you. All of us from 0 to 1 spend a year being our birth astrology. And then we, you know, filter through other stages. We never lose our initial primal emergent birth astrology, but the way natural time and the Mayan teachings, you know, are not just presented, but, you know, the whole gestalt is that there are these shifts that we move through cycles ourselves. So we cycle out and we spend 51 years doing other subtle changes and shifts. And then we come back at 52 and it is this massive condensation of self. And I am slightly embarrassed that my output for age 52 is this pretty dynamic and intense home renovation. And I mean, you know, like, okay, it's not a book, you know, it's not a baby, you know, it's not like a, it's, it seems pretty insignificant if you're going to have like your 52nd year really show you the dynamism of self. But on the other hand, I can't really believe that I'm pulling it off, like, you know, the head contractor that people hire. Like, I am really capable and I am really diligent. I am always working if the light is out, if the natural light is up, the sun is, you know, from dawn to dusk, I'm working. And that's just blue overtone storm. And to me, a lot of what really matters to me from my astrology or my countercultural upbringing is that we not overindulge. Like, I don't like that people build sprawling mansions. I don't like that people have private airplanes and go over wherever they want, whenever they want. I like boundaried sort of indigenous behaviors in modern folks. And so I suppose that it's very representative of like a pure paganism or pioneer spirit for me that, yeah, okay, so my seemingly truest emergence of self just means generating shelter, beautiful shelter on my own, not relying with kind of like the loft of like a nobleman, you know, employing serfs, you know, that I'm not delegating all of this building energy to putting it on the backs of others. Like, I'm just doing as much of it as I can myself. And that's a really strong ethos for me. So I can learn a lot about that in my 52nd year. Just like, no, I feel like if you want to change your home, you should change it mostly to the degree that you can change it. Like, that is, again, this is what I mean about podcasts and my tendency towards really unbridled honesty. I don't know if that serves the actual natural time show here, but, you know, it is really problematic for me that, you know, we farm so much of our needs and material aspirations out to others, including like Chinese factories that bring pieces of plastic across the ocean. Like, I'm just old enough that I was born and raised to believe that that was selfish and wasteful. And, you know, this is not a rant about the state of the world so much as my inability to grow and evolve with the state of the world. And that it makes sense if I'm in this kind of redefinition of self year that would be amplified and underscored. Okay, so that actually is helpful to me because a lot of what I suppress here is the realization that my entire experience of natural time is colored right now by my personal process of being in the epicenter of the lifetime. Being born is a really big deal. Being reborn at 52, there's no parental element, even if your parents are alive. It's really humbling and it's emotional. I'll tell you one other thing about that is that, you know, my stepmother had a stroke in the summer and I was really affected by that, not because I was close to her, but because of what I just explained. Like, at 52, there's such awareness of the frailty of the generation above me, and not that they will expire, you know, but more, okay, I'm not the child. You know, I can't play the child of the parental unit or the parental generation. They are becoming weaker. And even if they're still here and vibrant, you know, they need care more than they can provide it. And just like this kind of uncomfortable, crunchy growing up process. And I've said, you know, before I hit this age that your first 52 years are really deeply involved with your family of origin, your DNA. It's your DNA cycle. But when you become 52 and are reborn in the full awareness of, you know, being in your astrology, if you follow this or not, then, you know, it's an exploration from here on in beyond DNA connections. Like, well, who am I not defined by my family? Who am I not ascribing to those definitions so fiercely, you know, what we inherit, what we watch, what we learn, and what we're steeped in our households and our experiences growing up. Like, you know, when you cut free from that and find out who you are, it's really interesting and revealing, and it can feel super raw and fragile. So it is infancy again, and I guess I don't give myself enough credit for that right now, and don't know how to talk about astrology without being really self-centered. And the last thing is that I arrived in this house in total chaos, closing in on a year ago, and I've worked you know, every day since. And currently it is just massively chaotic, just like the literal piles of everything everywhere as rooms get their last details finished, but just constant shift of furniture and belongings and feeling like I have too many. And so it's really hard to pick up the microphone in the midst of that. Okay, so that's the story. That was fully half our experience here, is me kind of navigating the social outreach of talking to the world, not the whole world, but our little world, and feeling how awkward it is. In terms of what's happening, we've been in the yellow sun wave spell. It's analogous to blue storm, so in some way it's supportive to me, and some I have some regret about not being supportive to anyone who's listened in this time. I bailed. I guess it was supportive to me to bail, because when you are in your analog wave spell, the tribe that is considered most similar to you and the most supportive, you can trust that good things are going to happen. It would be really shocking, and you could report to me. I would allow that outreach. I would invite it. Like, no, I just went through my analog wave spell and it was one of the worst experiences, you know, I've had in ages. And the only explanation for that on your analog days and wave spells is because the support you need was breaking out of something where there was denial of a kind, you know, attachment that was unhealthy, and you were supported to be released from that. But generally, I just don't see that the analog tribe works that way in our lives. It really feels like kindness and support. It doesn't feel like, the dark underbelly of support, tough love. Tough love comes in other forms, like maybe constantly, but most profoundly in our antipode relationship. The opposite and balancing tribe for each of us is not an enemy. It's not an evil, you know, that we have to face and deal with. It is the tough love stance. It's like, hey, I really want you to be balanced, and I want you to, you know, not get too sequestered in your control issues and beliefs. So I come along to make sure that you are more balanced and nuanced and broad-minded and able-bodied by feeling things that are uncomfortable and therefore expanding the sensations and revitalizing you. So I'm your opposite and balancing power tribe. That's where I think the tough love comes from. And then for all of us, our occult partner is more like that tribe. It's kind of like, yeah, this is a lack of control as well for you, because I'm going to show you mystical things, and the mystical side of life has good and evil, or things we like and things that make us uncomfortable. But I'm going to remind you, prove to you that there is a whole sort of unseen, unexplained, mystical side of life. So that would be the occult power. And then our guide, I think, is, you know, more basic. Our guide just shows us where to go. We can trust that. Doesn't mean that the journey is going to be easy, but, you know, follow your guiding tribe and you'll get really far. And also allow yourself to understand from your birth astrology that your guiding tribe describes a lot of your impulses and appetites in life, you know, whether you like it or not. I'm guided by Blue Hand, and ever since Donald Trump showed up on the stratosphere, it's been kind of gross to be like, yeah, I see some of his behaviors, which are so cartoonish, outlandish, exposed. He's just such an easy read in a kind of horrible way. I'm like, oh man, I have that. I'm led in life by a lot of that, particularly arrogance and egotism of knowing it all. It's like a Blue Hand shadow quality, and I'm like fully strongly guided by that. And being led by something means that maybe it's one of the first things other people see. So there was a little bit of reminder that I really care a lot about the medicine wheel of our personal astrology, that every one of us was born on a day that had four other alternate important surrounding powers that are described as the tribes. You know, some of us are guided by our own power doubled. If you're magnetic, rhythmic, or spectral in your birth astrology, then you're guided by your own power doubled, which means the power of your tribe. You know, not your own personal power, but your tribe, as the, you know, description of your tribe is amplified, and, you know, you're just strongly rooted in your birth tribe's astrology. The rest of us are guided by a tribe of our own color, you know, red, white, blue, or yellow, whatever color our birth tribe is, we're guided by a tribe of a similar color. And then we have, every one of us has an opposite balancing tribe. Every one of us has an analogous supportive tribe. Every one of us has a mystical occult tribe influence. So if you learn what these are, then you can witness what happens on the days and wave spells and sometimes years that arise that are one of these four consequential influences for you. And that's just another multidimensional way this calendar is interactive and eternal and complicated and, you know, hard to understand. And you can, I hope everyone learns about it in the easiest way possible. I haven't read a book in like 10 months. I hope to read again, because relying on the internet is just really limiting for my synapses. But I have a book. I continue to want to sell it. And it's nice, because every now and then I get an order. So thanks. And you can learn all this stuff in my book if you can bear to hold something paper in the midst of our much faster moving speed of light age. So yellow sun, the wave spell, is pretty much over to a certain degree. The summit was yesterday, Tuesday, I guess, maybe the 19th of October, and today is the day the wave breaks. It's the release of tension. Yellow sun is really rarefied, and it's heat oriented. It's a relationship to the sun itself, but it's also your relationship to enlightenment and, you know, how you seek to understand life, you know, just how we're seekers of enlightenment. We've been on that journey for the last 10 days, and we're still on it to a degree, but we're integrating the antipode now of yellow sun. The 11th day, the spectral day of the wave spell, is always the antipode of the wave spell. So yellow sun, the tribe's opposite, is white dog. That's always true. If you're a yellow sun person or a white dog person, then you have an antipode relationship. And that's true for everyone. The spectral day of your sort of home base wave spell is always going to be your antipode. That's the formula. So every time the spectral day, the wave breaking day, the day the wave breaks, the tension and the ascent of our wave spell snaps, and we're falling back to earth, every time we do that, we're introducing an opposite balancing energy that was lacking the last 10 days. So that's kind of the victory here, is that in order to be in a pure form of chasing enlightenment and trying to meet the sun god, or, you know, expose ourselves to some kind of heat sensor, you know, the purification that heat brings, we had to let go of our loyalties and our mammalian feelings. An example of this is, like, many true seekers are not romantic or, you know, creating a lot of intimacy in their lives relationally. True seekers, you know, including some of the cloistered, you know, intended to be cloistered monastics and priests of yore. That's this vow of celibacy. The chastity that's accorded a true religious seeker is natural, because they're not to be distracted by the bonds of the heart and the complications of intimate feelings and emotions. So that makes sense, right? That in the yellow sun wave spell for 10 days, we would be kind of like void of the white dog impulse to be close and warm with another. But now it's back. Now it's back. And that is some kind of testament that I feel loyalty to the people that listen. So I fell back into the intimate expression with you. And you can, yeah, nothing. You can just see if this white spectral dog day brings any feelings of connection and warmth. You know, I'll say one thing that I went off to the prison. I go on Sundays, and I was there last week, a few days ago, and it was raining, so it was a little different to arrive in the rain and wet. You're not allowed to take an umbrella in, right? So I think that I was just sort of cold and damp, and so not hot per the yellow sun wave spell. And my feeling when I was there was just kind of grumpy and weary, like, well, I don't know. Is this really a good thing to do? Is it helpful? Is it meaningful? Is it worth it? Am I good at it? And so I was caught in the yellow sun experience of not bonding on the kind of animal human level of like, oh no, it's nice to be around people and these people are my neighbors and it's nice to visit with them. That was all kind of like removed and it was more clinical, and I had like an ascetic way of like, maybe I'd rather just be on my own. So hopefully with the white dog returning in your life, in my life, you can claim bonds as important again. Okay, so then the other thing that I completely bypass, but sometimes I lack things to share about here because not a lot is happening to trigger my synchronic storytelling. So it's okay if this spills over to next podcast, but we entered a new moon. We finished the electric moon of our electric year, and the intensity of understanding how we can best be of service is morphing now to details. What form will my service take? What form? I know how I can best be of service, but what form will my service take? We're going to get that information, some of it right away. Some of it right away. And so that was a big sigh of like, okay, some of that information, you know, it's really easy to read in the first days of the moon that we enter. We get a real blast. So maybe you, like me, can synthesize that information that's already arrived, and it'll be cultivated over this whole 28-day stretch with, like, I guess, 25 left. Self-existing, though, it's this like second corollary to the main electric thrust of service. Service is so integral to following this calendar. It doesn't mean that you have to go and work at the soup kitchen or do these other kind of like famous gestures of generosity. It just means that we recognize that being of service is a fundamental core part of everyday experience or our life's meaning, so that we return to that every 13 days. We return to it for 28 days every year. We return to it for a year, which is the one we're in now, for every 13 years. Wait, how can I best be of service? Like, how can I be of service to others? How can I be helpful? And to whom should I be offering my help? It is meant to show us our best selves. How can I, with my attributes and inclinations, best be helpful? It doesn't mean you have to change yourself magically into one of those like all helpful, all personable entities. Just find out what your skill set is now so that it can be shared and applied in another situation most usefully and meaningfully. And we've moved into the second part of that quest for service. like how to apply that in the world by getting now into the self-existing tone, which is what form then should my service take? I felt the impulse. Now, like, where exactly, what exactly do I do? And it's cool. It's detail oriented. It's meaningful. It's foundational. And I'll explain more about that as we move through this moon. So, I think I'll be back if I can just pull it off in time to talk about the next wave spell on the horizon, which starts in 3 or 4 days. And it's going to be the red Skywalker wave spell. Thanks for understanding, if you do. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.